to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Slo County has been developing a master plan on aging. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe will talk with members of that project's advisory committee. This committee's 2 years of diligent work will help us to better understand and serve the needs of our aging population. Joining Fred today are Laura Kelly Edwards, Executive Director of Meals That Connect, and Linda Beck, Long-Term Care Ombudsman. They will share with us the work of this advisory committee and how we can better understand and address the fact that, hey, we're all getting older. You're invited to learn, listen, and participate in the program today and be part of the conversation. We're once again able to take your live calls, and we urge you to provide your input at 805-781-3875. With that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. By the way, am I the only one getting older, or are you getting older too?
I am getting older. I'm actually going to turn 65 next, a week from today. So we're all making it.
Fellow Torians unite.
And, you know, suddenly I care about all of the older people's things. It's kind of funny.
Which means you'll actually listen to the program today. Thank
I'm
you.
Going to be taking copious notes for sure, because this is, as the kids used to say, this is relevant to my interests.
Okay. Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community, and which may be more serious than if you listen to just Brad and I talk, which is not very serious sometimes. If you haven't noticed, we're all getting older. Baby boomers are now over 60, and many of them are pushing 80. Yes, if you're a baby boomer, you're somewhere between 60 and 80 years old. May is Older Americans Month, which became a good reason for us to have this conversation, because along with that, it also was the month that the Advisory Committee for the Master Plan on Aging for San Luis Obispo County put out the 2025 report. I have guests today, which Brad is interimly introduced, and that is Linda Kelsey Edwards, who's the Executive Director of Meals That Connect. Did I get your last name? Pronounce it for me again.
Laura Kelsey Edwards.
What did I say?
Linda.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay.
I'll answer.
I'm sorry. And my other guest is Linda Beck. Sorry about that. Okay. two L first names, and I lose it all completely. Who's the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, Linda Beck? They are also advisory committee members for the group that put together this study. And since they work on a daily basis with the population that comes into question with this kind of study, they were really the appropriate guests to have inviting us here today. For full disclosure, I need to clarify that Linda Beck is a long-term ombudsman, and I serve on the board of directors of that organization. Laura is not involved in anything that I'm currently involved in, so I don't have to have any disclaimer for that. And by the way, because it may affect some of the comments that I have in the room, I am the oldest person in the room by clear default. So, and I will be 74 next week. So when I talk about my age, it's because I'm going to be 74 next week. Having gotten that ridiculous part of this out of the way, I want to remind you again that you can give us a call at 781-3875. That's 781-3875. If you would have a question, or you want to have us hit on something that we haven't discussed yet or that comes to mind for you, you are welcome to call in. If you would prefer not to be on the air, Brad will take a note from you and some of your questions and pass it on to us. So you do not have to fess up to your age in order to be a part of this discussion. I guess probably where we now should seriously start is get an understanding of what the San Luis Obispo the advisory committee for the county's program on aging And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's a master plan. For some reason, the word master plan did not fit in there for me. So how did this come about, and how did we get to having a group of people sit down and try and figure out what's going on to all of us aged folks?
Well, this is Linda. We're all aging, obviously. The conversation started at the community level with representatives from several organizations who do older adult services of one kind or another. Just discussing the fact that we have a lot of services here in San Luis County. A lot of them are well-kept secrets to most of the population. And it was time we felt that it was essential to get a conversation going about figuring out what we have, what we need, and how we're going to get from one to the other. That effort started in about November of 2021 and moved up exponentially, moved the timeline up exponentially when San Luis County itself applied for a grant from the state to develop a local master plan for aging. I should say that the state master plan was announced in 2020, and since then the state has been working to encourage communities to develop local plans that are tailored to their particular communities. So the grant, which was for just under $200,000, came in to the county, and the group that had been having the conversations before the grant was received became part of the advisory committee to the consultant who was doing the work on the grant.
So that's how the program came about. Why do we need one?
We need one.
I realize there's a realistic answer to that question, but I think for a lot of people it may be, gee, everybody knows they're getting older. What's the big surprise?
Well, there's no surprise to that part. what the master plans really look at is our communities, how communities can meet the needs of its aging population in ways that make it possible for adults to remain independent and in control of their lives to the greatest extent possible, and to remain part of the community. So there are needs that come up as people age, and I think of it as the infrastructure for aging. Do we have transportation services? Do we have caregivers? Do we have people who can provide meals, as Laura's group does? And we decided that it was really time to take stock of what we had and figure out where we're going to meet the growing population of older adults in this county.
Yeah, sort of an inventory. Do we have holes? Do we need to look? Do we have any blind spots?
I suspect, Laura, that based upon the fact that you're responsible for feeding an awful lot of people, I think maybe what we're looking at also is, do people even know how to ask for what they want? Or what they need or haven't thought about?
Well, a lot of people don't know what they don't know. So we serve a lot of seniors meals. 80% of the program is home delivery for people who are medically homebound. So when our volunteers go out and deliver those meals, they're doing wellness checks as well. And we're seeing things that people need. And we know of services that they don't know exist, or perhaps there's a caretaker there that's helping that senior. They need resources too, and they're not aware of some of the resources that are out there. We have a lot in San Luis Obispo County. And so how do we disseminate that information to the aging population and the people who care for them?
I was recently at a meeting that you were there for also. And I think one of the things that got referenced that I didn't realize is that sometimes the way you offer meals or provide meals are things that never would have occurred to us. I guess there are some homeless population people that you literally, I want to say that may not be the right way to put it, but rendezvous so they've signed up for a meal program. Yeah. And that may be that you deliver it to wherever they are stuck at the moment, for lack of a better way of putting it. And it never occurred to me that Meals on – well, I'll still call it Meals on Wheels. It's been around for a long time as Meals on Wheels. Meals That Connect is looking at a population that I never would have thought of fitting under your profile of what you can provide services for.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We do provide meals. If you're parked in the same place on a regular basis, we can deliver the meal to a vehicle. And we have a few of those. We can deliver to a motel. And we deliver to a lot of different homes. I would say 38% of our home deliver clients are at poverty or below and are living in squalor. And we do get to all of these different places.
One of the things that that I think may come to mind is that an awful lot of people who are involved with meals that connect are the volunteers that actually pass out or deliver the meals. And by delivering the meals, that senior, that homebound person, that homeless person may be indeed in a position to have a connection that they didn't know was available to them.
Yeah, and that's so important. You know, the connection is almost sometimes more important than the nutrition, and obviously the nutrition is vital, but that connection piece is so important. We have folks that they just look forward to that visit so much, and they'll get dressed in the morning just to greet that driver at the door. Every day they'll be standing at the door with the door ajar waiting for that meal delivery and to sit down for even 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes to have a meaningful conversation it's very impactful for the senior. And, you know, studies have shown that the isolation factor is equivalent to smoking 10 to 15 cigarettes a day on the human health problems. So isolation is a big deal.
When you both started participating in this advisory body, you were already working in a field that was clearly involved with the clientele that this project was meant to look at. Were there any surprises that in the evolution of the last couple of years of putting this together that have surprised either of you, even though you work in it regularly?
I don't think I saw a lot of surprises. The population that I see is largely living in long-term care facilities, which means nursing homes or assisted living facilities, whether it's a big apartment-style complex or one of the smaller board and care six beds in the community. The four pillars of the SLOW Master Plan pretty much encompass what I would have expected. And just to get that part of the conversation going, I'll mention that there are four pillars to the SLOW MPA: housing, healthcare, caregiving, and emotional well-being. We identified those, the consultant identified those after doing an extensive amount of work throughout the county, both conducting in-person meetings at public libraries or senior centers, sometimes recreation centers, as a way of involving the community in the conversation. They also distributed a survey and got something like 600 responses. So while we didn't get the coverage or the participation that we had hoped for, we always looked, you know, more voices is better. We did not do as well with the Latino communities as we had hoped, but we did get some response. The survey, all of the materials were sent out in both English and Spanish. So there was an effort to really bring in all of the elements of the community. And once they sat down and crunched the data from those encounters and that input, they came up with those four pillars as the sort of buckets of need to focus efforts going forward.
As we pull all this together, what are you seeing as the most serious roadblocks and I can't think of a better word, prejudicial biases against a need for this?
Well, you'd mentioned that this is Older Adults Month, Older Americans Month, actually, which was established by the federal government back in the 1960s as a way to try to combat the invisibility of older adults throughout the U.S. population. And I particularly like the theme for this year, which is flip the script on aging. And the idea is to get people to rethink the way they think about aging, to challenge the negative stereotypes that people have about aging, to celebrate older adults, and to promote a more inclusive community so that older adults don't get isolated and aren't feeling cut off from the rest of the universe, really.
Going back a number of years, someone at I can't remember which senior center it was. I was doing some transportation training at for some seniors. I basically asked someone about the fact that that the senior center they were going to had a weekly bingo. And I got what I would classify as a very startling answer as to why they happened to do bingo. And the answer I got was, when we invite seniors to come here because it's a place for seniors to hang out, a lot of them won't show up. If you give them something that's engaging like playing bingo, all of a sudden they show up every week. So I'm wondering, we indeed are dealing with a population of older people who don't see themselves as aging. I confess that includes me. Until I look in the mirror and get startled, I don't think of myself as old as I am. And so I'm assuming a lot of what happens with this kind of project is people don't think it applies to them. People don't think it it's relevant to their daily existence. And how do we effectively address that?
It's so funny because, you know, you can be, I think, just 50 to join a senior center in the county at all the different senior centers. And recently I was having drinks with some friends and I was like, hey, we should all join the senior center and, you know, take the club over and make it a young seniors club. We could have a lot of fun with this. And they were all like, oh my gosh, there's no way I'm old enough to be a member of a senior center. But, you know, and that's part of flipping the script, right, Linda? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you have this image of what aging is to you, and it sounds like it's very negative to you, but it can be very positive, it can be very beautiful, and heck, we're all going there, so we may as well go and have a good time and do it with grace, right?
Yeah. I wish I had some reference for the actual study that's done this before, but it's a recollection I have. That when people have been asked to evaluate their own age or where they fit in the overall pecking order of life's evolution, it's been statistically looked at that the average person sees themselves at about 15 to 20 years younger than they are, which I feel is very rewarding because if I just lie to myself adequately, I can believe I'm 54, and that will be fine. But that's not the case. But I wonder, truly, I've made fun of it since the program started today, and I apologize for that. But we really do perceive ourselves as younger than we are, and most of these programs that you're talking about as part of this master plan, people indeed have this misconception that it applies to everybody else but me.
Yes. And one of the messages that we really want to get out is the importance of finding out what information is available, what services are available before you or someone you love needs them. When we talk about services for older adults, we're talking not only about individuals, you know, I think 65 plus, but that's just because I'm 64. And I have refused to accept the fact that but I think Medicare is going to be really helpful, that people don't see themselves as needing this kind of support. But for every older person, you have usually some younger family members who are going to be affected and involved as the person ages, may have cognitive issues, may have physical issues. We also have a large, substantial community of people living with disabilities. And this plan is really designed to address the needs of all three groups. The older adults, the people who are their caregivers, whether formal caregivers or informal family caregivers, and the community of people living with disabilities. So it does really reach everybody in one way or another.
Even those of us who are in denial.
Absolutely. Okay, so. Especially you.
So one of the things that you may count on, and for the work both of you do other than this project, I suspect sometimes your best resources are family members of your client, because the family members may be more realistic about what the client's needs are than the client.
That is often the case. And one of the challenges is to preserve the individuals, the older individuals' right to make their own choices, even if they're not great sometimes, while providing them with the resources and the support that will hopefully help them make the best choices for themselves.
I want to remind folks, if you want to be part of this discussion, even if you're not an old person, please give us a call at 805-781-3875. If you'd like to share some comments or questions and you would prefer not to be live on the air, our engineer will gladly take your information down and pass it on to us. Also, we have an email address, which is voices@kcbx.org. If you'd like to pass some questions on to either of our guests, you can send us an email and we will forward it on to the guests if you don't want to be part of the radio program today. Because my hunch is there's enough of us out there that have forgotten things we should have asked about when we were younger. So if you can ask about them now, I would encourage you to do so. Go ahead, Linda.
Fred, you'd asked what the sort of overarching, the big picture issues are, and the two that jumped out of the research for the local master plan that really cover all four of those areas that are listed as pillars. The first one's information access. It can be very difficult to find the information you need to set up transportation, to set up meals, to find support services, because we don't intentionally keep that information a secret, but it doesn't get a lot of penetration into the community. So that was the number one thing. We want to get the word out about the services that are available. The second thing is transportation, because without transportation, it affects where people live. You know, if they can get to the grocery store from where they live, can they get to their healthcare appointments from where they live? It certainly has an effect on social activity. If you can't get to the senior center, it doesn't matter whether they're playing bingo or Parcheesi. And finally, it's a real burden for caregivers, or can be, that they need to be available to take their loved one to the store and the doctor and the blood lab and all of the other places, not just that they have to go, but they really want to go.
There's a side of the transportation issue that I think is maybe a different challenge for people in San Luis Obispo County, where if you happen to live in L.A., San Francisco, New York, Chicago, the public transportation systems are far more extensive in meeting the needs of the population. And Californians do not give up their cars very easily, even though a good portion of them at some point should probably not be driving anymore. And I think that becomes a challenge, because as you were mentioning about transportation before, what occurred to me is there are people who still drive who are reluctant to drive because they're apprehensive about their skills, but they don't tell their family or friends that they could need some help or need some guidance with public transportation. So they may indeed self-immobilize.
Great point. And I'm happy to say that the SLO Council of Governments, SLOCOG, has close ties with the transportation infrastructure in the community. And one of the services that we recommend most often is Senior Go. Basically, you can call into a central office, tell them where you are, where you want to go, and they will do the work of looking at all the schedules and all the various transportation vendors that we have in the community and provide the best route, the best pricing, and so on. And I think that would go a long way. If more people knew about it and used it, that would go a long way towards resolving that part of the issue.
I think, Laura, the similar issue, I think, probably becomes a factor for nutrition. You may have people who are reluctant to admit that they could use the services of Meals That Connect, but they're probably on a very unhealthy diet because they buy the cheapest, throw in the microwave dinner that they can find at the supermarket when they could be eating healthier. So I think the level of denial is probably there for a lot of people under lots of circumstances.
Well, you put denial and you add it to, you know, the limited resources that they have. And the fact that they never wanted to think about this in advance, and now suddenly the triathlete that gets Lou Gehrig's disease and is now at home and can no longer drive to the grocery store to pick up those frozen meals is in a real predicament. And there is a lot of pride. You know, we are talking about a generational gap here, too. You know, the generation that's needing to receive a lot of these services, I think, maybe is more prideful than some of the generations that are younger today. So that's kind of an interesting thing to consider. And they don't want to take anything for free. And they don't want to admit that they're in a position where they need charity or they need this type of help. We do allow people to give donations because sometimes it just makes them feel better to contribute and give back. And
let me just not let that get away. So your meal program does not have a charge.
No.
Okay. But sometimes people will insist on paying because it makes them feel more included or more responsible or more in control of the process.
Yes. They do not want to take something for free. They insist on contributing back. And somehow that reciprocity helps them enjoy it that much more. And so we're all about dignity. And so we say, go ahead, here's an envelope. And that just helps us feed more seniors.
One thing a lot of people miss, of course, is that many of the services are funded by tax dollars, and they have been paying those taxes for decades, so that they're not really getting something for free.
I want to come back and revisit that, but we have a caller, and I want to make sure we don't let that get away before the break. Okay, so Harlan from Grover Beach, are you on the line?
Yep, here okay. I am.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. You tell about trying to get the word out, but then when you say the phone number, by the time I hear it, the time I get my pen to write it down, I've forgotten it. I would like to have you say it, announce that you're going to give the phone number, and then say it twice, slowly, so the person has a chance to write it down. I called the station to get the phone number.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I'll pay better attention to that. That's a very good point. Go ahead.
Also, it would be good to have the name of your organization and where you can find it, you know, and call. Identify that more often. I don't even know what the group name is.
Okay, I'll make sure we list that. To Linda or Laura, how is this? It's probably available on the internet. What is the actual name of the county's website or location that you can get information about the study?
I do not have a computer. I'm old.
Okay, so we'll track a phone number down and make sure it gets listed.
We are also working with the lovely people at Slo County Libraries, who will be holding several copies of this plan and all of its contents at all the different branches throughout the county for ease.
Harlan, did you catch that?
Something about the library and a plan. Yeah. What's the name of the plan?
The Master Plan on Aging for San Luis Obispo County.
Oh, great. Master Plan on Aging. And do they have a specific phone number, or is that the 781-3875?
The phone number that you just read off is the phone number for the call into the radio program. We'll try and track a phone number down. We've got to do a quick break. We'll try and track a phone number down and announce it after the break.
Oh, wonderful.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
I applaud what you're doing.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we'll see if we can get a phone number for where people can call for more information about the study. This is Central Coast Voices, and we'll be back with you shortly. It's over to you, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. The fight to defend the legal status of Venezuelans in the United States.
I felt that all these years of advocacy were just prep time for this.
That's this week on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, journalist Amanda Hess explores how technology now shapes every aspect of parenting, from online identities to the pressure of sharing our lives in real time. She's written a new book about it called Second Life, Having a Child in the Digital Age. Join us.
Customers are starting to feel the blowback from tariffs, but there are some goods that are too good to quit.
People are looking for an escape, and fishing is a perfect escape. So we're not seeing sacrifices in this industry yet.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. How much does a hobby cost anyway? That's next time on Marketplace.
Well, if you're a guitar player like me, it costs a lot. That's a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX with Fresh Air coming up from 3 till 4. Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and then all things considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Hi, thank you, Brad. If you might just be joining us, our guests today are Laura Edwards, who's the Executive Director of Meals That Connect, and Linda Beck, who's a long-term care ombudsman. They are both members of the San Luis Obispo County Master Plan on Aging Advisory Committee. And we're talking about that plan, and we're talking about getting old. And thank you to Harlan, our caller just before the break, who's reminded us that one of the things we're doing is not sharing information in a way that's necessarily effective for old people. Laura had a comment on the break that I suggested that she may want to air now.
I am just so grateful that Harlan called, because that call was the epitome of what we deal with at Meals That Connect on a daily basis, which is we're providing resources for seniors who are slowing down. They may not have a computer. They may not even have a cell phone. They don't use email. How do you reach them? How do you get this vital information to these people so they know that there are meals and there are ombudsmen and there are respite care centers and there's adult day centers and there's transportation and there's health care and there's HICAP and there's libraries and all of these great services that these folks can't access? And then when we talk about it on the air, we're saying the phone number too fast for them to take it down. You know, it's a real struggle.
It is. And the number that I would suggest that you contact for more information about older adult services in the county is our Area Agency on Aging, which is Central Coast Seniors. Their phone number is 805-928-2552. And they're just a great place to start gathering information. The phone number again is 805-928-2552.
I think we do forget about the fact that there are people who don't have computers. There are some people who don't have cell phones. that's going to be more of a challenge because most of the landline operators are giving up their circuitry for landlines because they're just telling everybody, use your cell phone or do a voice over IP line. It'll come back to haunt us.
Absolutely. But back to Laura's point about Harlan's call, which I too appreciated, going to the piece of the flip the script agenda for this older Americans Month, promoting an inclusive future. Communication is as simple in many cases as slowing down. I hear many, many caregivers, most of whom are in their late teens, 20s, maybe 30s, and they simply they talk to their clients the way they would talk to a peer, rather than bearing in mind not that the older adults are unintelligent, just that they hear less clearly and they need you to slow down a little bit.
So as we look at the aging population, what are the things that you and the advisory committee are still looking at from a standpoint of, you know, we're sorry we missed that one, or we didn't realize there was as big a need for something that is clearly of importance to some people?
Mm-hmm. We try to make the point in presenting this plan that it is not written in stone. This is the first master plan that San Luis Obispo County has done. And when I talk about the county, I mean the community of San Luis Obispo and not the political entity, because the county as a political entity has not adopted this plan. What we really have is a community plan, and it's a plan that will be reviewed going forward. The Adult Services Policy Council, which is a sort of informative arm of the county government, will be monitoring the activity under the plan, and we expect that there will be updates to this plan going forward, maybe yearly, maybe every 2 years. But it's a set of issues that aren't going away. We just needed to start. It was a starting place for the conversation.
We'll get back to that. We have a caller from Robert from Atascadero. Robert, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Thank you for your patience.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I think one of the things that we also need to address is people who are transitioning from private insurance when they hit 65 and they go into Medicare. It's such a daunting and overwhelming process that, you know, I went through HICAP, and I think a lot of people in the area don't even know what HICAP is. And I think that's something that we need to address a little bit more.
Thank you. That is one of the most important and least utilized resources that is available for people. Yes, transitioning onto Medicare with the supplements and the Part D and all of that is very complicated. And there are a lot of players in the insurance area that have very clear ideas of how they would like you to spend your money. And the great advantage of HICAP is that it's impartial advice. Unfortunately, HICAP is also one of the programs that has been potentially targeted for elimination of federal funding. And not only are they talking about eliminating federal funding, they are talking about prohibiting states from using any federal dollars from any program, any bucket that entity receives to fund HICAP. HICAP is on the chopping block. So I'm so glad to hear that it was helpful to you.
And if I may add one other thing, we would have less confusion if we just had a universal healthcare system, much like, you know, the rest of the industrialized world. I mean, it's very sad the way the situation is.
That's a subject for another program.
Point well
Absolutely.
Taken.
I also sat through a really interesting webinar last week with SenCal Health. And as a lot of people know, SenCal is our local Medicaid. And they, you know, there are many seniors in our county who are on Medicare who qualify income-wise to also be on SenCal. And if they're on both, they can now apply for a program called MediMedi. And this is all brand new, and there are resources flowing in, and it allows you to have vouchers for housing and different benefits. And so we hope to share more about this emerging topic.
Yeah. Robert, thank you for your call. Very good point.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking it.
So to comment just briefly on the situation with federal dollars flowing into the senior service sector, there is an effort to drastically reduce funding for Adult Protective Services, which is the county agency that looks out for people, for older adults who may be at risk of financial exploitation or physical abuse, emotional abuse, whether, you know, from a family member or from the community at large. It would hit the long-term care ombudsman program, which provides advocacy services for people living in long-term care facilities and their families, along with a host of other programs, including the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, which really ought to be the focal point of these master plan services. That's the most logical place to put them because they have connections to all of the various parts of the communities that can be of assistance to older adults and caregivers and people living with disabilities. And if those services are defunded, there are going to be a lot of people looking even harder to find what they need.
In the last 6 months since the election, is there been an effort at the advisory committee level to look at the things that you thought were not necessarily on the chopping block at a federal level, but now seem to be – it becomes a whole new list to work with?
Absolutely. And I think everybody in the senior service sector is going through that right now. Laura, you were at a meeting last night where this was discussed.
Yes, it is. It is terribly sad. There were numerous nonprofits in the room looking for funding from the city of San Luis Obispo for a health and human services grant. And out of the $150,000 they had available, there were $412,000 of funding requests. There were tears. There was a lot of emotion. These program partners are very invested in the clients that they serve in our community, whether it be unhoused populations or, mental health clients, for us meals, incarcerated folks getting out of prison and trying to reacclimate to life, veterans. There are just so many services, and it's just none of us really know where this is going to end up. And I hope we can preserve some of these programs. But I hope the Master Plan on Aging can keep a cohesive list of these services together for people to find. And I'm sure we'll all be shapeshifters. And somehow we'll get through it and we'll be some version of ourselves. And we'll try to ride this storm.
Are you seeing any effort or movement in people who are aging, getting retired, have time, in some cases have time on their hands and some desire to make a change? Are there seniors that are becoming advocates for these programs? So people who may have never done any volunteer work or much volunteer work, who are now retired, is there an opportunity to say to them, we could use some volunteer help if you want to become an advocate for our program?
A very good question. I have not seen it yet, but I do think that it's going to be even more important to inform people of what's going on and let them know how easy it is to make their voices heard. I sent a letter off to the state legislature on behalf, supporting a bill, not on behalf of the Ombudsman Program, but supporting a bill that would protect residents' rights related to eviction. And that was something that I think every resident of a long-term care facility should know about and should have an opportunity to comment on, because many of these populations are out of sight in many ways. And it, out of sight, out of mind, if the legislatures don't know that it's a concern for their population, for their constituency, they're not going to support it themselves.
Yeah, I definitely think that's good. We utilize 450 volunteers through Meals That Connect. Many of our volunteers are seniors themselves, so we have seniors helping seniors, and it's beautiful. And for many of them that are helping us, they're saying, wow, I'm slowing down, and I have my health issues, but, you know, when I get out there and I deliver meals and I see the condition other people are in, I actually realize that I am blessed, and it is probably more of a gift to me than it is to the senior I'm serving, what I'm doing. But we also, we do have an email address if folks out there are interested in volunteering and getting involved in a working group for the Master Plan on Aging and helping us if they have website design skills or otherwise. We have a website which is MPA for Master Plan on Aging, ACSLO@gmail.com. Again, it's MPAACSLO@gmail.com.
So that's Master Plan on Aging Advisory Committee, SLO.
That's right. Yes. Okay. The acronym. Thank you. We live in a world of acronyms, Fred.
I can't remember the names of my grandchildren. one of the things that we did not really hit on specifically is that it's interesting when looking at the summary from the master plan, we have a disproportionate number of people over the age of 65 in San Luis Obispo County. The hold on a second, I'm looking at it. The average in California is 17.6% as of, I think, last year. We are at 24.3%. And the understanding is that that doesn't count specifically the population that are living with disabilities specifically, but we're really looking at a population that is growing. I made a joke about it to some extent at the beginning of the program that all the baby boomers are getting older, but it is a significant portion of the population. San Luis Obispo County is probably always going to see this because desirable coastal communities that have something resembling even vaguely affordable housing for the state of California seem to be places that that seniors gravitate to, and we don't want to move anyplace else. None of us do, but I think it becomes an ongoing issue from a lot of standpoint of a lot of people.
It does. It can be a struggle, and really, what the SLO Master Plan for Aging is about is making it better for the people who are here and for the ones who are going to come in the future by addressing these infrastructure needs like transportation and health care. We could do a whole separate show about health care and connectivity, keeping people in touch, keeping people from being isolated. And this is just the start of the conversation. I hope everybody will be keeping their eyes and ears open for other opportunities to participate in future discussions of these issues, because they really are important to us all.
Yeah, and Laura talked about the volunteer opportunities within Meals That Connect, because a good portion of the work that Meals That Connect does is a somewhat simple handshake interaction with the client receiving the meal. I know of a number of people who once a week have it on their calendar that they do volunteer delivery for your program, because it's a way for them to connect with people that they may never meet.
It's true.
We didn't talk about it specifically, but Linda's the ombudsman program does have volunteer positions for ombudsman. It's a rather extensive training process because of the nature of the program. But being more than half of the ombudsmen now, I think, are volunteers. Are they?
We took a hit during COVID. Our volunteers, many of whom are older adults themselves, were understandably reluctant to go into the long-term care facilities when COVID was out of control. We're rebuilding the program, and we have another volunteer training coming up later this year. So if anyone is interested in participating in a program that makes life better for people on a daily basis, please give us a call. You can reach the office for the Ombudsman Program at area code 805-785-0132. And again, it's 805-785-0132.
Thank you. As most of our regular listeners know, that I confess by the end of the program to talk too much and not leave my guests to share the real information with you. So at the end of the program, what we always do is make sure that all of our guests have a couple of minutes so they can share with you the last words as to what they think you need to take away from this program. Linda, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Fred. I think the most important thing I'd like people to take away is the idea that aging is not a passive process. This is not the time of life to stop thinking about what your next goals are and how you're going to get there. Part of maintaining your ability to do that is to look into the services that are available and start including them in your planning. There's nothing to be lost from planning, and some planning is better than no planning.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on that. I think it's really important to plan ahead. And, you know, if you asked half of our clients, they would tell you they never expected to be homebound with a handicap. You know, even the best lives and the healthiest people end up in predicaments that they were unexpecting. So, you know, think in advance, just like you do for your financial resources. Who do you want to have come in and help you? Where are you going to live? And, you know, get involved in some of these programs. I know it's not puppy dogs and kittens. It's much more fun to look at those kinds of topics. But as we get older, we can have a great life. And, hey, we can create our own blue zone right here in San Luis Obispo. And we can make that a great thing.
And I'll remind folks again, these are programs that are available. It doesn't take a lot of research. I realize we have some people who are not computer savvy or don't have a computer or a cell phone. But if you happen to have those things, if you Google SLO MPA, you will indeed find the Master Plan on Aging. Does the committee have an ongoing role? The study's been now released, if you will. Does the committee have an ongoing role in this process, and are there ongoing meetings?
The meetings will be handled at the Adult Services Policy Council. The master plan will be a standing item on the agenda. The advisory committee will continue to meet, probably less frequently than we did, which was monthly. We'll probably go to quarterly meetings, but yes, that participation will continue.
And it's kind of up to the groups that are supporting it. And I think there are about 50 of us who are, and I think that's one of the beautiful things that came out of it, really, is getting all of us together. We were all in our silos doing our good work, but now we see each other and the important role that the other plays and how we can do this together. And we will be the ones helping to roll out the plan with the community's help and support. And I want to just add the ASPC meeting that Linda was mentioning is the first Friday of every month.
And you can find the information on the location of the meeting and the agenda if you go to the county website and look under the tab for the Health and Human Services Department. And there you'll find that information posted there.
Yeah, the indexing at the county's website is pretty good. You can, if you put in Adult Services Policy Council or just the initials, I believe you can track it down also, because it's been part of the Department of Social Services as a clearinghouse for quite some time. This has been a fascinating process, and we'll talk about it again, because today we're one age, and tomorrow we're going to all be a day older, and we're stuck with that. And frankly, the alternative is not as much fun as we'd like it to be. Brad, you had some comment to make?
I did want to make one comment, and I think it's helpful for our listeners out there. We did have somebody call in who was asking about transcripts and was coming in late to the program. I do want to remind people that we will have a recording of this hour available on the website. You can link to it from the homepage of KCBX, where you will see the initial posting about this program, and then we will attach the audio. So if you miss any portion of it, listeners can come back and listen back to the program in its entirety and take any notes or any takeaways.
And that's true of every week's program.
Every week's program, and they're all up there on the website and on the front page of kcbx.org, right down towards the bottom area. I post our daily topic, or our weekly topic, rather, and then once our program is completed, I go back and I attach the recording of the hour as well. So that'll be up by about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Thanks for the reminder, Brad. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is Central Coast Voices. Thank you for all listening with us today. I want to remind you that Chris Kington Barker will be hosting next week. Her guests will be discussing National Health Decision Day. That's a more important program than you may have even thought about. If you have the opportunity to listen next Thursday, Chris Kington Barker will be here, and she'll have guests talking about National Health Decision Day, which is a key factor, somewhat piggybacked with the kind of thing we're talking about today. We are a production of KCBX Public Radio of the Central Coast, and we appreciate the fact that this is a program that we can put on for you. Brad is a staff member here. The hosts that do the program and do our own editing and production are all volunteers. So we want them to be part of the – you to be aware of that. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. Thanks to Brad Kyle, our studio engineer, and thank you to my guests, Laura Kelsey Edwards and Linda Beck. This has been Central Coast Voices.